I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry by the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators on a whole Mowgli field. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh drugs.
Call me private. Oh, yeah, welcome to episode 248 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where Pimp stands for Permaculture is my passion. And that's for all the little marchies out there. They're going to be easily offended as soon as they see that up on the wall. That no matter what I say, they're going to be, oh, I can't believe you arrogant black. Anyway.
I don't think that's what they're saying.
Yeah, no, somebody's out there saying it. Yeah, and I'll prove it with some of the stuff that people are writing to me. Yeah, but it stands for permaculture is my passion. Yeah, and it's the only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And I'm guessing we got a weird-looking glare on the screen right now. So as always, y'all, for those of you in the live chat, if you would, go ahead and hit that thumbs up. It helps us out so they know to start suppressing us immediately, because we're going to be talking about some real solutions, as we always do. And this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, handle all your preparedness needs yourself. Anything you can't do, go and check out Heaven's Harvest. And plus, they got some ballin' seeds over there. If you want to tip a pimp, you can do it over there on the Fountain app. But right now, y'all, in lieu of doing anything in favor of us, look, I'm going to ask everybody to go out there and donate to anybody that's helping out in these relief efforts, because I'm here to tell y'all. Because nobody in the media, nobody in the mainstream prostitute media is ever going to tell you what's really going on out there. And what's really going on out there is nobody's helping anybody up in these mountains. I'm telling y'all, it is still going on. We are a long ways away without power in a lot of these different places. I want to thank everybody in the chat. Somebody says, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? I don't know that I can do that breathy enough to be able to make it make sense. How dare you?
It's like, pretty close.
Yeah, I gotta make it more breathy to make that work. I don't know what's up with the glare on the screen, y'all, with the Pimpcast sign, but hey, it do what it do. So like I said, if you could, go ahead and hit the thumbs up. Let them know what time it is. All right, so we're going to jump right into the farm news because we got a lot of stuff to cover here. Hey, sorry about not having an episode on Monday. That is the first time I think I've ever not even did a makeup episode. And the reason why, number one, I don't believe in rebroadcasts. I don't do that. I'm not a big fan of them myself. I'm not going to re-air something because I'm too trifling to go record something. I just don't do that. I've never been a big fan of it. Even back in my days of doing radio in Kansas City, I was never a fan of rebroadcasts. Plus, they don't do any good anyway. I mean, you could already go back and listen to it. So the reason why that didn't happen, folks, when I say when I've hit the limit of my bandwidth, man, there is not one more thing as of late I could stack into what was already going on. We had that event on Tuesday. A lot of you may
already... That was Wednesday. No, it was Tuesday. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
See, so you don't even know what day
I thought today was Friday for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everything's all screwed up. Every day is like Monday as of late. I mean, every weekend, Michelle and I think we're going to take a break or whatever. Well, we're doing something else. Somebody's needing help, and we got to go over there and help. And it's been a complete mess up here, y'all. I'm not trying to complain because, like I said, at the end of the day, I still got four walls and a roof over my head, and there's a whole lot of people out there that don't have anything. And you would think 60 minutes would be here talking about it, but no. No, they're not going to do any of that.
They will in what, 5 years?
Oh yeah, yeah. They'll 10 talk about years? It. Oh yeah, yeah. They'll give you a little shout out when it's no longer relevant. But folks, when I say we're going at 100 miles an hour, I mean it, man. We are wiring generators. He's out there doing stuff. I mean, this ain't even his home anymore, man. He lives in Texas, and my grandbaby's birthday. We'll come to that in a minute, but. Anyway, last weekend I took a break from other things to teach a pig processing class with Jason at Sow the Land. Really great class, fantastic class. And by the way, we got another one coming up November 15th and 16th. For anybody out there, I know a lot of people are like a little frightened of what might happen in this election, which In my book, as I've said before, it's like picking out the color of the train that's about to run you over on the tracks. And I think I can make a pretty profound case for why I'm saying that at the end of the day. But we got another one coming up November 15th and 16th. I don't think there was a disappointed person in that class. And during that class, good night, man. I mean, that's the cool thing about doing small groups like this, where it's limited people, is that we can really get in. There is not a question you're going to ask about processing that I'm not going to have an answer to. That may sound a little bit arrogant, but I mean, there's usually nothing on a homestead level or even on a commercial level that you're going to ask me about processing an animal that I can't get you squared away on. And the cool thing about it is, with these classes, you also get the digital version and a PDF of everything. So you saw it three-dimensionally. Unlike a lot of the classes where you go there and you're observing, you're putting your hands on it. Trust me. I'm going to push you to your limits. You're going to go in there. You're going to do this work. And by the time it's all said and done, you're going to be like, man, you know, I came in here feeling like a pig on roller skates, but I'm rolling out of here feeling like I really got this. And that's the cool thing about learning a processing class on a small level like this, because number one, good farm fresh, home cooked food, no GMO garbage, none of that stuff. So you get some good food at the same time, good fellowship. And it's the cool thing about doing these processes or going to any of these gatherings is that there's no feeling out period. And I'm sure a lot of you in the chat can give me an amen to that. It's like you basically go in there and you all automatically know these people, you know, you feel good right off the bat. Excuse me. So anyway, we had a pig processing last weekend, if I can even remember my weekends anymore. And then immediately after, man, it was like trying to do everything we could to get this thing going on for Alan Booker over at Mars Hill University. If you haven't seen it, you can go back and watch it. It's in the live versions of the videos. So anyway, we had that town hall. It was basically a Western North Carolina Restore WNC bioremediation town hall meeting. Say that 10 times over there at Mars Hill University. And it was filled up.
Yeah. That place was packed. In fact, they started late just so everybody could get in.
Yeah, we had to start late because, and then, you know, a lot of people have seen it online. So you're going to get a good overview of how these things work if you watch the video. We had a lot of technical difficulties, folks, so give us a break on that. And if you're new coming in, once again, hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're out here. So, yeah, son, you were there at the town hall as well.
Yeah.
And you had just got finished. What were you doing before
then? I literally just got done digging swales at my friend Talis Snodgrass's house. He was over in Tennessee, and I got done digging the swales there and then immediately came to the remediation meeting. Funky.
Well, you fit right in. So we had the baby's birthday party yesterday, William's baby. She's one. Look, y'all, I don't do that month stuff. It's not going to be, oh, she's 13, 15. No, she's one until she's two.
You know, that didn't make sense to me. Doing the month stuff didn't make sense to me until I saw how much change happened each month up until the 1 year. Now she's one until she's two.
No, you were zero to you were one. My dad asked, how old is he? I'm like, he's, you know, I don't know. I mean, until he was born this date. So, I mean, count it back. I mean, he's zero until he's one. Yeah, Michelle probably still says, oh, how old's William today? Oh, he's 327 months today. Your mom's stopped probably still doing that. So she made a little cake and the baby just, one of those cakes you basically, she's
smash cake.
Yeah, and apparently she didn't sleep last night.
No, she did not sleep very well last night.
So your mom made a sugar-free cake. This baby is like no junk. She didn't get any junk or anything.
Well, it wasn't sugar-free. It was just refined sugar-free.
Yeah,
so
it was like white sugar.
It was dates, bananas, maple syrup.
Which all metabolizes the sugar.
Yeah, she was fired up.
Yeah.
She came down. Emily went and got her at like 9 o'clock, and she stayed up till like 11 p.m.
Then your mom made another cake, and this other cake was like, okay, so I'm doing this. I'm on this program. It's called Energized Health, okay? You do it for basically 102 days when you add it all up. It's basically 88 days. And I'm like, Tuesday will be my 102 days. I will have finished this program by 102 days. Well, you don't have any refined sugar. You don't eat any wheat or anything like that. And you go through it. So I'll basically report my results to them. So I'm still not to the finish line yet. So I don't get any cake, but your mom made my birthday cake. She kind of half made it. She she didn't.
Usually there's layers to it. This time it's in a pan.
It was in a pan, and then it was missing some stuff. So she felt so bad about it this morning. She was like, all right, I'm going to make you a proper cake.
Yeah.
It was like she gave the baby her cake. Oh, yeah, the baby gets her cake. She smashes in it, and she's like, oh, here's yours. Nope.
Okay. Misha Leah has a good point about the months until they're a year old, because they change, like, sizes every month, like clothes size every month.
Yeah, I don't care. It's zero until they're one.
Yeah, yeah.
Zero, and then now from one to two, look, I don't do the month thing. I can remember some of the dumbest nonsense in the world. Like, when ask me when Bruce Lee was born and when he died, I could probably tell you. He died July 20th, 1973.
Why do you know?
Somebody look it up and check me. I'm telling you, if there was a category,
I'm looking it up right now.
If there was a category on, I'm going to say July 20th, 1973. I could be all wrong, but I'm going to. July 20th, 1973.
July 20th, 1973.
Really?
Yeah.
I can remember if they had a category on Jeopardy for useless trivia, I'm telling you, I would win it every time. I can remember some of the most obscure, crazy nonsense, but I don't even remember my own birthday. I'm dead serious. I've forgotten my birthday every year since I was 22, I think. But anyway, how do we even get on that? But anyway,
I don't know.
Okay, so we'll talk about some real farm news.
Oh, we were talking about the conference, how the conference went and stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, no, we got past that. We were okay. Everything went well, and it was a really good overview as to what needs to get done. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, to do what needs to be done here in Western North Carolina, I am not even going to lie to you, folks. I kind of had a weird cathartic moment. I don't know, a week ago or whatever, when I was doing the podcast, and it just felt like the whole world was on my shoulders, because I'm like, man, the remediation efforts that need to be done around here are so Herculean that I don't even know where to start. It's one thing for me to build compost out in the barn or whatever, but to do it on the scale that it needs to be done. And if there's anybody making better compost than us in Western North Carolina or anywhere for that matter, I don't know who that is. And that is the backbone of healing this land.
I've been to recommended composting places, and we've tested their soil, and they weren't making anything near what's being made here.
Eric Sider and his chicken tractor on steroids. I mean, your mom looked at it under the microscope, man. And it was like the standards, basically, in a nutshell. I know this is going to be Greek to some people out there, but 135 micrograms per gram of bacteria and fungi is considered biocomplete. I mean, that's just one of several metrics you're looking for. Eric's, I think, was like 700 or something, and it wasn't even cured.
Yeah.
I mean, so after it's cured, it's going to be at least double those numbers.
But he's in California.
And he's in California doing it in a chicken tractor on steroids, and he was like not even really putting his best effort into it. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, if I could get him on the first thing smoking out here. So anyway, folks, the bottom line is that to remediate this stuff, bioremediate a lot of what's going on here, is going to need a lot of compost, more than I can produce here. And so in the future, we're going to be looking to, we got some ideas out there, and ultimately it's going to require a whole lot of money that we don't have. And I'm going to try to seek wealthy benefactors. I'm tired of going to you guys and asking. I haven't asked for a single dime for myself, just for the record. I mean, just so anybody knows out there, I haven't asked for a dime, even though we've lost lots and lots of money since this whole thing began. Haven't complained, haven't done anything about it. And we live a low consumption lifestyle anyway. And most of the money, a lot of the money we make, we give away, believe it or not. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that we don't need a whole lot to live on. We really don't. And we don't drive new cars or trucks or anything like that. So that's part of our preparedness. You know, we have multiple streams of income, but we can live on one. So that's
which exactly, is permaculture.
That's permaculture. Exactly.
It's permaculture. We run our design.
Business is exactly the same way, but it also requires that you live within your means and you live a low consumption lifestyle. And when you raise your own food, well, you'd be shocked at how little you need, but
which
anyway,
is the third ethic of permaculture, setting limits to population.
Well,
well, not in an alarming kind of way.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're going to have to, son, you're going to have to go into detail on that one.
Not in a eugenicist cut kind of way.
No, it's not what you think, folks. We didn't just turn into some Malthusian lunatics over here overnight. So, point being is that It is a Herculean effort. And I'm going to try to seek everything I possibly can to get everything for free from the people around here that already have some of the means. But there's a whole lot of things to work out. And folks, I'm just going to ask your prayers doing this. Eric Sider's on board. We got some other people on board. It looks like we could even get Jeff Lawton to a certain extent on board, and that's through Eric. So we can get some of the very best in the world at doing what they do. And we're just going to need a place to make so much compost it'll make your head spin. And that's basically to give you the cliff notes, honestly, of what you're going of what unfolded in that meeting. It goes like this. We basically put down a bunch of compost extract, which is basically taking compost, and we extract the organisms from that compost in an aqueous solution, basically in water, okay? And then we take it, we spray it out there. Just doing that alone will beat down the nasty junk, the hydrocarbons, and all the other stuff that's out there floating around. And don't worry, we're going to cover some of that in a minute and how it may be affecting him right now. You basically put that down first, okay? That beats down, that provides a little bit of a blanket on the junk that's out there, okay? Then you go down with biochar. Hey, thank you so much for that super chat, if that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, corepens.com. Thank you so much.
Sorry about, man, I can barely read with these glasses on, man. That's the one downside.
Thanks, Billy, for making us aware of what's going on in Asheville. We're going to support Asheville for a few years through Calvary of Asheville.
Man, I'll tell you what, Carrie Brown hit me up the other day. There's a lady out there wanting to say, hey, I'll give you $5,000 right now. Look, I'm trying to do everything I can. I am doing everything I possibly can to not ask for one single dime, but I don't know. Lord willing, we'll find ways around it. But man, I am tired of going to people who are already struggling to put bread on the table right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do everything I possibly can to see if I can work with places that already exist. And y'all, I'm praying. Please pray that I get, and the people working with us, that we get the wisdom of Solomon regarding all of this. I'm dead serious. The wisdom of Solomon, because that's what's needed out here. That's how bad some of these things are going on around here. And
the wisdom of Solomon uncovered a third of the world's gold, too.
Well, there you go.
There's the funding.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you get down to brass tacks on all of this, this is a Herculean effort. A lot of this stuff we already know how to do. So basically, we're going to put down the extract, then we put down some biochar, which has already been inoculated with compost tea, and then we put down carbon, and then when we're able, we're going to go through and seed all of these phytoremediating plants, basically plants that either bind up the toxins or hold them in there. We can chop and drop them. We can do a lot of different
things. But most importantly, they're going to keep feeding the microbes.
Absolutely.
That's the most important part of really getting anything to get growing as soon as possible, is that they're going to continue feeding the microbes.
And that is exactly. So you need the plants to provide the exudates to keep the microbes alive more than one doggone season.
Which kind of what I was thinking is that the species of plants matters less than the fact that it's a fast growing and something that can pump sugar into the soil quickly.
Right. And those sugars are what, in a nutshell, what happens, like William's talking about, these plants, each plant has a little different, they basically send out a shopping list, okay? And your bacteria and your fungi basically go out there, they're like, okay, the plant tells the bacteria and fungi, okay, you want to eat? Well, you got to take care of me, and this is what I need. Bacteria and fungi basically take the aggregates out there, basically these sand, silts, and clays, they break that down, they give it back to the plant in the form that it can use. And so it's just like the Lord knew what he was doing. So it feeds that entire, what Dr. Elaine Ingham calls the entire soil food web, the bacteria, the fungi, the protozoa, the nematodes, arthropods, all the way up to the worms, which are your top predators. And then ultimately we get to the point where when we start seeing worms, you only see worms when the rest of you only see lions out in the savanna because you got gazelles, you dig?
Yeah.
So if you didn't have gazelles, you ain't got no lion. If you didn't have grass, you didn't have gazelles.
Which makes no sense why they're reintroducing grizzly bears to California right now when they have no predators or they have no prey.
Yeah, they do. They got a bunch of whack job hoople heads out there, man. They're going to eat up. They're going to be out there trying to pet these.
Come here, little bear. Come here, little bear.
And then you heard a cocaine bear? Well, now you're going to get fentanyl bear from all the accumulation.
Yeah, he's going to be out there chewing up all these marchies right on the streets of San Francisco. Yeah, I left my heart in San Francisco. You'll be singing that for real. But long story short, Alan dropped a lot of great information for, you know, people that are new to this space. But really, when you get down to brass tacks on a lot of this stuff, it really goes down like Eric Sider made that shirt. And by the way, this is one of his too, the nitrogen fixing shirt. So go check out ericsider.com to get some of these balling shirts you people are always asking about. Like that other shirt, it's a quote with Bill Mollison on it. Even though, and I'm going to loosely quote it, but basically, even though the problems of this world become more and more complex, the solutions are embarrassingly simple. They really are. And it comes down to just putting the right life out there. We know what to do. We know how to do it. It's just a matter of being able to produce enough of it. In fact, man, you want to talk about a feeding frenzy at the end of that class when I basically gave away the compost?
Yeah.
Man, we had some senior citizens down there elbowing folks. This one girl told me, yeah, that old lady elbowed me to get that compost. I said, hey, y'all come up here and get this compost so I don't have to take it home. I just thought people would just kind of casually, man, I forgot what I'm dealing with here, bro.
Yeah.
Man, they were, bro, it was like nothing I've ever seen. The only time I've seen a worse feeding frenzy is when you go to Kansas City and you go to one of the casinos on the river and then they put out
I don't know, Dad. I wasn't old enough.
No. You were there, man. Every time in Kansas City, man, when they put out all those crab legs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, at the buffet. Yeah. Dude,
them hood rats are coming out of the woodwork, yep. Man. They will murder somebody. I'm surprised somebody has been murdered at a Kansas City buffet.
I'm sure they have. Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly happened before. Well, that same thing
unfolded right there when I said, come get this compost. Man, they even took the compost extract, man.
Yeah.
I made some extract in front of the class and, you know, per Alan's request. And so anyway, I do want to give a hat tip to Alan Booker. I do want to also thank all the other people that were involved. Moonmade Botanicals, Allison over at the Farm Connection. And, of course, Permapastures. We put this thing on in 5 days, man. I mean, it was
packed, too.
And it was a Herculean effort to even do this, just to even find the place. I mean, it was coming down to brass tacks, man. It was looking like we were going to have to do this thing outside. We just couldn't find, sadly, I couldn't find a single church that was willing to work with me. And the one church says, yeah, come on in the front door, and it's locked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they tell me, yeah, come on in the front door. I'm like, come on, man, dang. Really? So anyway, it turned out well. It was a good location, and I want to give a hat tip to everybody that was there and everybody online. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. I think you're going to be glad you did. So that's another thing I'm doing also as far as farm news. I'm making compost, and ordinarily I'd be kind of easing it because I'm only making enough compost for this farm. Well, now I'm going to have to make enough compost to inoculate bigger windrow piles, which I'm going to wind up having
the
to do.
Watershed.
Yeah.
The entire watershed.
Yeah. I'm going to have to come up with a way. We're going to need land. We're going to need a compost turner. That alone is $35,000. Hopefully somebody's got one just collecting dust somewhere.
Yeah. If y'all know any billionaires, let them know. Let them know what's going on. Yeah.
Forward this little thing over to the billionaire and tell him, look, man, you ain't gonna, don't even pay me, man. I just want to clean this crap up.
Can you buy some equipment, please?
Yeah, because, and you know, and honestly, one of the places we're working at, just to kind of give you guys, I don't want to stay on this too much longer, but I want to kind of give you what the scope is, what we're aiming at. There's a community down in Marshall, the name of which is escaping me right now, but it's basically a bunch of poor folks that live alongside this river. It's, if you just look at the river, it is absolutely picturesque. I mean, beautiful, breathtakingly beautiful. And then as soon as you turn around, you see these houses next to each other, and they are absolutely decimated. The only houses that actually weren't completely messed up were the ones, believe it or not, built 100 years ago. They had stone basements and stuff like that. But everybody else in this community, these are poor folks. They're not getting insurance, and they ain't getting no FEMA.
Yeah.
And this is the area where we're going to focus our efforts in trying to remediate first.
And a lot of people did not have flood insurance because they weren't building within the floodplain area.
Well, let's just be honest with you, man. There's a lot of folks up here just trying to hack it out of the wilderness, man. Yeah. They're not even thinking about that. And frankly, let me just tell y'all something. People move here because the chances of floods are non-existent. There is a reason why people in the preparedness world move to these parts, and until you get a geoengineered storm. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. If you don't believe me, go back and check out the interview I did with Dane Wigington. And, you know, Dane's become a friend of mine, and we talk pretty regularly, and it would shock you the things that are going on right now. Even Weatherman Plus, who doesn't even get, hasn't even gotten into this, is even saying, look, come on, man, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, it's getting crazy.
Yeah.
And speaking of relief, I wish I had the article in front of me. There was a, right before I got on air, man, I saw this article. Let me see, who was that guy? He does all the whistleblowers. I can't think of his name, but basically there's a FEMA whistleblower and she was working on
that. James O'Keefe.
I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but he has done some good work. If anybody wants to know the reasons why, I'll have to tell you in person. But anyway, James O'Keefe did this. One of his recent interviews is from a FEMA whistleblower, basically talking about that FEMA has basically redirected all their money for this area only to places with DEI where there's diversity, equity, like that should have anything to do with anybody suffering from a disaster. Oh, what color are you? What? That even matters? Yeah. And like, oh, we got to find people of color. Got news for you. It ain't a whole lot of black people living up in the mountains, y'all. You want to know why? Because it's cold and black people don't like cold weather.
It's cold and there's wildlife.
Well, and
as soon as you see a bear walking in your front yard, they tend to leave.
Hey, bro, all I know, one of the funniest videos I ever seen is when that brother walked in that McDonald's with that rat. He walks into a McDonald's in a black neighborhood with a rat. Drops this rat loose in this black restaurant in this black McDonald's.
I remember that.
And it was a stampede. It's the funniest video I've ever seen in my life.
They would have reacted better if he started shooting.
Yeah. If he would have came out blasting, it would have been a better response. But honestly, black folks and wildlife, man, they just don't mix too well. I mean, hey, so, say whatever, man. I'm not politically correct and I don't care. And if you haven't noticed, I'm a little bit brown myself. So I'm not caring about stepping on any toes. In fact, on the Making It in Asheville podcast, there was this brother on there one time, and it was doing like a version of a Big Brother thing. And I don't know how the question came up, but he was asking, well, why isn't there a whole lot of people of color? Of course, he asked it in a very politically correct way. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have asked it that way, but he did. And he asked the black guy that, and he says, look, man, I mean, Asheville really isn't set up for a lot of... Now, I'm throwing a wide brush here, man, because I know many brothers, man, that love the outdoors, but by and large, that's not the case.
Stereotypically.
Yeah, but I mean, it's true. Most stereotypes are rooted in truth. I mean, man, don't get me started on stereotypes. I'll circle back to the stereotype thing and how it's okay to stereotype. Yeah, I said it, and I'm going to prove it here in a minute. But anyway, he asked his brother, how come, a whole lot of people of color don't really live up here? He says, well, honestly, man, Asheville and these surrounding areas, man, are really not, this isn't the kind of place black people go to. And what he ended up saying is that most black folks in black culture are really not, they really ain't digging. If you don't love the outdoors,
yeah.
If you're not into mountaineering, if you're not into climbing, if you're not into waterfalls, if you're not into fishing, if you're not into outdoor
hiking,
which most black folks ain't, if you're not into that, you're not going to dig this area. And when I say, and like I said, I'm throwing a wide brush there, because if you haven't noticed, I'm a little bit brown myself, man. And I spent honestly more days outside than I have been. I mean, sleeping and everything too. It's just how I'm built. But, going back to the stereotype thing before we move on. Look, man, before I sat down in this chair, did I examine it? Son, before you turned that doorknob to walk in this studio, did you examine it?
Nope.
When you step in your car, everybody out there in the sound of my voice, when you jump in your car, and depending on what, unless you got one of the vehicles I got.
Unless you got mine.
Yeah.
And the glow plugs are going out.
Yeah. Did you lift the hood and examine everything, or did you just go in there turn the key with the expectation that it's going to go on, right? You did that. I guarantee you did it in most cases. That's stereotyping. Your brain does it automatically, and it's completely okay. If your mind didn't stereotype, you would never be able to function. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to stereotype, even when it comes to people, because your brain naturally does it. So, you know, hey, man, I ain't even going to lie. I got a genetic predisposition to like fried chicken, okay? Let's just keep it real. Well, I'm probably going to pay for that one. But I don't care, man. I really don't care anymore. I don't care about being politically correct. I don't care about any of that stuff. And if people don't like it, I guess you'll find another podcast to listen to. But you have enough farm podcasts out there where everybody's worried about offending somebody. Man, those days are far beyond me, and I really don't care. And if I'm, you know, my humor is a little bit off, which people have been kind of complaining about here and there. Look, man, I don't know what to tell you, bro.
Zaya Bonanza says, who doesn't like fried chicken? Vegans, which just shows you how crazy they are.
Bam! That's my dog right there. All right, so with that said, look, once again, we got a pig processing coming up November 15th and 16th. I'm going to show you how to do it from the rooter to the tutor, y'all. I ain't kidding. We go into incredible detail there. Day one, we're going to teach you all of it, basically. With this pig, we're basically going to scald it and scrape it. And then later on, I'll show you how to skin it, too, with a pretty cool method. And then day two, once this thing is cooled up and is a little bit more solid, we're going to break him out or her out. I don't know which one Jason's going to decide to shoot here. We're going to break it out. You're going to learn how to dispatch this thing. You're going to learn how to, you know, bleed it out. I know all of these things sound like, oh, man, can I really do that? Trust me, it is. I've created a paint by number. Me and Jason have done this so many times by now that we got a paint by number procedure in doing this, and it doesn't get any easier. I'm dead serious. You learn how to do a pig the way we're doing it here, there is no animal you can't do. The method I'm going to teach you will work no matter the animal. And like I said, you walk away with the $200 PDF, well, the PDF and also the video version of it. So you'll always have that and you can use it as a reference, but you're going to be putting your hands on it. And look, honestly, man, please, if you're going to show up to this butchery, I'm asking for the serious people. That's why the price point is what it is. If you're not serious, man, if you're going to just kind of go there and hang out and just, you know, just be a fly on a log, I would rather you not come. I'm just going to be honest. If you don't want to get your hands on it, because the idea is to put myself out of business. I'm dead serious. When I said it before regarding Comfrey, the idea is to make it so ubiquitous that I cannot sell it. And the only way for us to get to a point of preparedness to where it makes us very difficult to kill is so the butchery, I want to train butchers to where people leave there, go home, do their own, and teach their own classes. I want to make it so ubiquitous that the notion of selling a butchery class is laughable. You know what? That will make us a country that's truly to be reckoned with. All right. So before we get into the good news, I want to remind you, at Redemption Shield, that's where I got my feet on right now. I'm G'd up from the feet up, y'all.
Yeah, y'all. These grounding mats are all over this doggone house. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. And in fact, my grandbaby, she fell asleep on me earlier. And she was being fussy. And I took her outside and I grounded her. You know, it was real nice outside. I got her some sunlight. She got a lot of vitamin D. Grounded her real good. And then right when she had about, you know, because she's fair skinned.
Yeah.
So, basically, I kind of held her and then put her to sleep. And then I used my wave watch. I put my wave watch on her and I put it on the Selfegio frequencies. Boy, she was out like a light. So,
she did the same thing yesterday, too, though. She was getting sleepy on you the other day that wave watch on.
Yeah, because she loves grandpa. Yep. She knows what time it is. Yep. And plus, you know, she feels that love radiating. Well, she feels it from everybody. Yeah. So anyway, so let's go into the good news. All right. Redemption Shield, by the way, 10% off with discount code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. All right. So the first good news story, Eric Sider. Eric had to send me a couple more of them. Hey, Eric, by the way, that other one from the New York Times, I couldn't really download it because I don't have a subscription. And I'm something of a Luddite, as you well know. And that was going to be a really good one. And that article was about why crows never forget anything, folks. Okay, let me just cover that real quick. It's not one of the articles I'm going to talk about, but let me just talk about these crows real quick. People think I'm crazy when I say I court the crows.
Yeah.
The crows feed alongside my chickens. I feed the crows. Now, am I going to be growing corn out here? No. But crows are like pimps. They don't forget anything. So you do something bad to a crow, man, they will remember it all their lives. In fact, there's plenty of reports out there of crows attacking people when they're being the crows. Well, check this out. You know why we don't lose any chickens to predators? Because I take care of the crows. And I want to thank whoever that is, Davina.
Davina Tusi.
Thank you for that $50 super chat.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. The reason why we don't have a whole lot of predation issues, none at all, from aerial predators is because the crows protect my chickens. That's also why I always recommend people put at least a couple of black Australorps in your flock, because it can basically, when they see black birds of prey don't go after crows, man. And in fact, it is the coolest thing in the world to watch. When you see a hawk flying around here, watch these crows. The crows will come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they will get up there and nip at the wings of the hawk. They think that hawk thinks he's going to come down and get some of my birds. Man, them crows are coming out of nowhere. So basically, I court the crows. And that's basically what that article, from what I could tell, I couldn't read much about it.
And you can establish that relationship by doing the chicken tractor on steroids, yes, and giving like a bunch of food scraps in that compost bin.
Right. And even if I were growing other things out there, you know what? I'm okay sharing with nature, because honestly, those crows protect my birds. And we have no aerial predation issues, even though people around us do, because I feed my crows. So that's one of the ways. And like William said, the chicken tractor on steroids, these crows now know it's the coolest thing in the world to watch. Like I said, a hawk will come down low, and then bam, crows are right on top of it, nipping at the wings. And the hawk's like, all right, man, tastes great, but less filling, dude. I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah.
All right. So my first one is, it was a pie in the sky, ridiculous idea. The U.S. homes made from waste materials. And this article is basically about how Michael Reynolds, the creator of the Earthship, the inventor, the architect.
Yeah.
How he was laughed at all these years. And what, 40 years now, he's been building these things. Mm-hmm. He's been to the academy. I've built.
I did the internship in the academy.
And I'm basically signed up for the online academy.
Oh, I didn't know they were doing that.
Yeah, they got an online academy now. Okay. And so I put my hands on two Earthships, helping to build. If you count them both, I've actually done them not quite to finish, but I'm getting there. But anyway, this article is basically saying, hey, this is a big slap in the face for all the people out there that are saying, oh, we can't build homes. These stick homes that we build that just fall apart in no time at all. Well, here it is, a guy that's been laughed at, basically stole his license,
yeah,
the whole nine yards, and now even the BBC is reporting that, you know what, these Earthships were probably the best idea from the word go.
Yeah, check out Foxhole Homes as well. It's a group that makes Earthships for, if a veteran can basically put up $50, they'll make him like a very primitive Earthship home. Foxhole Homes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those ones that, like I said, y'all, man, I've been wanting to build one of these for years, and Lord willing, we'll get around to it at some point. Man, I got to do it while I'm strong, but shoot, man, I don't want to be in my 80s trying to sling no sledgehammer.
There's a few of them out there doing it.
Yeah,
that are like old too.
Yeah, man, I seen one guy was like the foreman out there. He was like one of the most efficient people I've ever seen.
Rory.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That dude is a freaking machine. He's made out of sinew, I'm pretty sure.
That guy, he's so bony. He could hang glide on a Dorito.
Yeah.
And he's out there slinging this thing and he's like wearing me out. And
yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't know somebody could hit the earth so hard with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. That weighs a buck 05, man. You wouldn't believe it. Okay. So another one here. Check this out. 10 essential tips for emergency preparedness. Be ready for anything. Look. William and I did a front porch talk where we kind of get into this. That'll come out on Friday, tomorrow, I guess. Where, look, things are getting real, and nearly everybody around here is going right back into the matrix. I mean, I'm talking to people that were not as affected as some of the others, man. It's amazing how in a disaster you see the good, bad, and the ugly. And how many people, as soon as the power came right back on, the same people that were freaking out, losing their ever-loving minds, went right back into the matrix as soon as the power came right back on. So we got an election coming up, okay? Yeah, if you want to call it that. I don't know what this thing is going to be. But hey, just as a little side note, ask yourself, I'm not going to answer the question, and if somebody wants to in the chat, you knock yourself out. But what was the one thing in that debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump that they agreed on? Yeah. So you'll find out, no matter who wins, the same interests win. The puppeteers holding the marionette strings, they win. So, okay, first of all, identify the common emergencies. Create a family disaster plan, emergency preparedness plan. I'll tell you, there was a whole lot of people that didn't have any of those. And, man, I heard some awful stories alongside one of these communities That's just down the road from me, man. I mean, people that literally saw their like dad die hanging from a tree, man, got swept away because they didn't have a family emergency plan.
Or watched their entire community flip away, or like just go downstream.
Yeah. And of course, that's not newsworthy, right? Yeah. You don't count on the prostitutes to talk about that. So conduct emergency drills with the whole family. Teach your children the basics of preparedness. Okay. I mean, beans and bullets, all of it, man. I mean, all those things. You can even make it fun, you know. There was a lot of mistakes I made when William was little as far as work. You don't ever tell a child, and I learned this from Joel Salatin, and I, of course, had to learn it too late, is you never tell a child, we're going to work until it's done. You got to give them distinct start and finish points. Like, pick all the beans from here to here.
Go pick up the sticks in the yard. What?
Or I tell you, yeah, pick up everything that doesn't grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's picking up rocks, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, but it was also a way to keep him busy when I had other things I had to do. But it was honestly a foolish and stupid way of going about it. So, son, don't make that mistake with your baby. June. Prep for family members with special needs. I think that goes without saying. Learn CPR and first aid.
Well, that stands out to me because there was one particular family that I know of that had a special needs daughter, and they were not prepared for, and they were outside of the flood zone, but they weren't prepared for tornadoes. So a tree fell on their house while they were sleeping, and now they have to like move to a different location and stuff like that. That is where some of the money that was donated to me is actually going. It's going directly to them.
There you go. So eliminate the hazards in the home. Understand the common risks. Prepare a bug out bag and car emergency kit for your car. Now check this out. Man, there was a time I was driving over to Ben Holler's house and my truck broke down. Yeah, that's what happens when you drive vehicles that got 300,000 miles on them. So it breaks down and I was like, dude, all I got is this. All I had. And this is me, an experienced person in preparedness, and all I had was this quart bottle of water. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, well, I got ways to get water, but I'm thinking, okay, what if I were somewhere else?
Yeah.
You know? So think about those things, man. Have them in your car. You know, I don't go anywhere without a weapon, okay? And when I say weapon, I'm talking the kind that, you know, fires lead. So, I mean, and there's a reason I call it a weapon. So you're always aware that that thing can kill somebody if you're not careful with it. Help non-preppers get started. And that's a big one right there. There was a guy in Asheville. Thanks, Amy B, for the $50.
Thank you so much. Sent a couple questions. Thanks, gentlemen.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know, Sean, if that's in yours.
Right, no, I think it's right there.
Yeah.
Look on the screen.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to.
Hopefully we get there, Amy. Yeah, we're a little bit behind here.
I got you sorted out.
But help non-preppers get started, okay? So what that also means, there was a guy in Asheville, honestly, that was using some of his preps. And he was using it basically to help out his neighbors so they wouldn't rob him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how I feel about that one, but...
Do you want to answer her question? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I don't know what the question is.
Okay. The first question is, number one, mycoremediation using spent mushroom blocks. They still contain substantial mycelium. Yeah, spent mushroom blocks are really good. It's good to put them into your compost that's in the process of curing. Don't put it in there whenever it's going through the heating up process, but put it in afterwards after it's curing. Or there's a vermicompost place out in Oregon that only feeds their mushrooms, or only feeds their worms, spent mushroom blocks. That's an option as well.
Yeah. The reason he's saying that is that when you're in the thermophilic part of that compost, when it gets a little bit hot, you're not doing your fungi any favor. In fact, your fungi doesn't even go to work until that thing comes down to basically ambient temperature.
Yeah. It's just going to go dormant basically.
Yeah.
And then you got to get the conditions right again for that to come out of dormancy and stuff like that. Question number two, SARE grants available for farmers experiment. The hypothesis is right there with an expansive, testing ground. Have you heard of those grants?
I don't know a whole lot about grants. I'll be honest. That's one area. Most farmers that I know of in Asheville honestly cannot survive without grants. In fact, every time I've talked to any of them in any kind of capacity, they were like, man, if most of them don't have grants, they will not make it.
And I don't know how many grants would be, like government-funded grants, would be willing to work with us on this situation, considering what they're trying to acquire in these mountains right now.
That's another thing, too.
They want people to leave.
Yeah.
And getting a grant might... If you do a grant, then they could potentially have some sort of control or ownership over what you're doing. And I think it's important that we don't give them any kind of foothold on anything that we're doing as far as the remediation goes.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to try to keep it as far away from them as we possibly can.
Yeah.
So if we can, I mean, if it's a grant that has strings attached, yeah, we're going to probably lean away from stuff like that.
Private grants we're fine with. That's why everybody should hit up their local billionaire.
Yeah, but that's also, it's kind of insane when you stop to think about it. If you got so many farmers around here that can't live on, they cannot maintain their farm without a grant, then that tells me you don't have a viable idea. You don't have a viable farm if you have to rely on grants.
And you would say 99% of commercial farming is in a viable way of farming.
Exactly. I mean, they're only farming that way because they are being subsidized.
Yeah.
So, all right, so good news article number 3. Garlic's magic. This culinary treasure can ward off ailments and safeguard wellness. See, look, like I said, more and more, what we said on this front porch talk that's going to come out tomorrow, this channel is going to lean more and more and more into preparedness. And the only reason why I backed off of it, and William kind of explains in that video, is, look, I mean, permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, that's what we talk about on this show. That's what this channel's always been about. The reason why I've leaned away from it is because you've had former people that were into homesteading that all of a sudden got into preparedness game. And to me, they muddied the waters.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm experienced in all of this. I have a legit background in all of this. And these people are only doing buy these 5 things or you're going to die because they know the algorithms favor that on YouTube.
Yep. If meanwhile, they have a sponsorship from that store.
Right. Right. So, I mean... So I kind of acquiesced in terms of covering a lot of this stuff, thinking, okay, I'm not going to cover this just because I know so many opportunistic YouTubers are out there doing this. But you know what? Hey, just like I'm not going to steer away from the word permaculture like so many others have, I'm taking it back, Jack. I'm serious. I'm going to start talking about preparedness. And if any of these knotheads get in my way as far as talking some nonsense, I'm probably going to call them out by name. Especially, yeah. I've been kind of doing subtle jokes here and there, which I'll probably consider. I'm definitely going to continue to do that. But yeah, I'm definitely going to keep clowning these people. But
sometimes the low hanging fruit tastes the best.
Yes, it does. Yes. I'm gonna come out full blast talking a lot more about preparedness, especially in these times, especially when I'm looking around me. And I'm like, okay, we've always kind of melded permaculture and preparedness into the same. It's always been baked in the same cake, but I've stayed away from it. But I'm not doing that anymore, man. It's getting more consequential. And it's not because I'm worried about what may or may not happen in this election. And yeah, I mean, there's a good likelihood that things may go sideways and stupid. Okay. There's probably a high likelihood of it. I think the election's probably going to come and go and not a whole lot's going to happen. I think it's going to be another rope-a-dope. And I think
another Jade Helm
could be. And then I think things will jump off a little bit later. That's just kind of what I'm just kind of wondering. Either way, it's going to jump off. You cannot maintain the American empire. And don't tell me we ain't an empire. 900 military bases in 130 countries. Yeah, that's an empire. Okay.
Yeah.
That's called an empire. And you can't maintain this. The dollar can't stay where it is. We cannot keep doing this. We're going to hyperinflate at some point. Things are going to be a problem. And you're going to be glad you listened to this show because I'm going to be covering more and more and more of this stuff. So look, remember, we do have backgrounds. We raise our pigs for 21 cents a pound. We raise our ruminants for free. We raise our egg layers for free. We raised our meat birds for free and produce 2 cubic yards of compost at the same time. You can raise everything for just about free. The only reason the pigs aren't free is because we don't farrow them.
Yeah.
We buy them. So, look, I mean, these are things that we're good at and we've done, and we got the videos to prove it. And, you know, compost is the backbone of a lot of this stuff. So I'm going to start covering way, way, way more how to. and how to do remediation, because honestly, that's kind of why I've been a little bit stagnant on some of the videos as of late, is I'm going right back into my preparedness roots, and I'm going to start covering a lot more of that stuff. And so anyway, that's, I don't even, I'm supposed to be talking about
garlic. What are you saying about garlic?
Yeah. I'm supposed to be talking about garlic. So anyway, the health power of garlic. So it's got allicin in it, and it's got a bunch of stuff in here I can't pronounce. Look, bottom line is, go out there.
He's not wrong on that.
Am I lying?
No.
There's just like 1, 2, 3. Allison, I can pronounce that one.
There's not enough vowels in those words.
I don't even know what it is. But anyway, I know this much. And also, it boosts the power of the antibiotics you may already be taking.
Emily rubs garlic and mullein oil behind June's ears every night because she's kind of prone to ear infections. So she rubs garlic and mullein behind her ears. Yeah. And hasn't had an ear infection since.
I try to eat a clove of garlic with every meal. I'm not worried about my breath. I mean, I'm married. I caught my limit, man. I'm not worried about, So yeah, I try to eat as much garlic as I possibly can. And, we grow it and this stuff is so prolific when you get it out there. But the more local, the better, just like everything else.
Evelyn W. says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's lithium.
Amen to that. All right, with that, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, the world we deserve. Our economy is dependent on nonstop consumption. Our news media, if we can even call it the news, is dictated by advertising revenue. Based on only those two facts, the state of the world is exactly where you would expect it to be. We've made the most antisocial people on the planet, the wealthiest and most powerful, and wonder why they try to remove humans from everything they create. The only vote that matters is where you spend your money. That is where you have any influence at all. There is no need to rig an election when both candidates will do what benefits the people in charge anyway. Anyone talking about change that isn't starting with local food and local economies is talking nonsense. I believe we need a shift in consciousness to save humanity, but it all starts with a first step. A first step towards local resiliency and community abundance. People's behavior makes sense when you realize most people are terrified. They wake up afraid and go to sleep afraid. They are completely dependent on a system that is crumbling before their eyes. Most are just numbing themselves with drugs, alcohol, and social media. They need real demonstrations of practical solutions. The things most people think are important don't mean anything without a functioning planet. And the only way we can maintain a healthy planet is with a local, sustainable food system. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. He said it all, y'all. And nothing I can add to it. As always, Eric always knocks it out of the park. And, Eric is... He's been really advising me a whole lot. I mean, basically making me... When I finally get off and running on this project, I intend to have him do some design work and a number of other things and probably be as involved as he would love to be. And honestly, his wisdom is going to be so needed in what's going on here.
Yeah.
In a massive way. And like you said, these local food systems, like you said, if you ain't talking about local stuff, man, get loose or get lost, man. I don't even know what you're talking about, because both of them, like I said a minute ago, find out the one thing that Trump and Harris both agreed on. Then you find out who the puppeteers really are. Like I said, the one thing in that debate, and not one person noticed it.
Somebody got it in the comments on at least my channel.
Okay. Keep it to yourself. Yeah,
I'm not. I'm not going to say anything.
I can't even believe. Yeah, I can't even believe I can't even say what it is.
It's the fastest way to get kicked off YouTube.
There you go. Just by observing who it was. All right, y'all. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, things jump off. You're not going to the club. You're going to his house. And if you get something going on in the house, look, the number one threat to your home is lightning. Okay. Yeah. If you get an EMP, this thing can handle multiple strikes. Not a problem there. What people fail to realize with an EMP shield is that it's also going to arrest any lightning surges that come down there. In fact, Their guarantee is so ironclad that if anything gets past that EMP shield and Kentucky Fries anything in the house, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. That's why EMP shield, just like every other advertiser on this show. Look, y'all, there's not one advertiser on this show. In fact, if they come to me, the answer is always no. I have to go to them because I'm not going to have somebody peddle products to me and say, oh, yeah, we'll pay you X amount to go. No, 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 no. I go to them because I know the product already works and it's something I use. Every advertiser, I'm guarantee you, every single advertiser on this show, not one of them came to me. EMP Shield's one of them. So that's why, as a journeyman electrician with 27 years experience, I've installed transient voltage surge suppressors all over this country, and that's why I reached out to EMP Shield, because I know that it works. All right, speaking of working, son, let's get down to brass tacks on this. I mean,
yeah.
So let's see here. Natural detox protocols for Hurricane Helene contamination. Now, for those that don't know, you've basically been working in this hurricane zone for a while with, I guess, some PPE, personal protective equipment, yeah. For those that don't know. Today you just went and got checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't you tell everybody, I mean, it's your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went and got tested today, just checking for any contamination, any kind of chemicals that are in my system or heavy metals or anything like that. Now, nothing like that showed up, but... And in fact, I didn't test like poorly on any kind of whether it was food or contamination or anything like that. But one thing that did stand out was that I'm having kidney issues in my left kidney right now. So to fix that, which I'm not showing any signs that I haven't, like as far as like physical symptoms or anything like that, as far as kidney issues go. But that was the only part of my body. And then also liver. To a certain extent, and I don't drink, so it's not like I'm drinking every day and I have liver damage from that. It's but yeah, my kidney, which is a filtration system of your body, and the liver to a certain extent are both working overtime right now, probably trying to filter out whatever it is I got into. So to combat that, I'm going to be taking zeolite. It was recommended that I take zeolite to help fix any of the anything that is still stuck in my system and kind of help my body get that stuff out, as well as Renna food, which is for kidney health. And the ingredients in this Renna food is a kidney bean, bovine kidney extract, lactose, bovine kidney, organic oat flour, defatted wheat germ, Spanish moss, beetroot, organic sweet potato, and organic carrot. Now, I also have a list of other things that would be beneficial as a broad spectrum thing for a lot of people getting in to this contamination. Zeolite for heavy metals and chemicals. Ivermectin for parasites and just cancer in general. Oil of oregano for viral and bacterial issues that you might have going on. Microgreens, specifically broccoli and radish, for liver health and flush out chemicals. There's stuff like that in this Renna Health that I'm going to be taking. I'm not sponsored by any of this stuff. This is just what Donna gave me, the chiropractor that tested me for this stuff. Also, some dietary things is eat a high protein, high fat diet. Stay away from carbs, get good sleep, and then also tea tree oil for any mold contamination that a lot of people are getting into, which is everybody who is hit by water. Everybody who is hit by the water has mold issues. All the houses that I've seen have mold issues. One of the common issues everywhere is the mold that everybody's getting in their houses right now. A, because they were hit with water, and B, because the air conditioning systems are no longer working, which are dehumidifiers as well. So a lot of that humidity is just accumulating in these houses and growing mold.
Yeah. Boy, you and said a mouthful there.
You have some stuff to add to like the kidney health too, right?
Yeah, there's some folks that are putting some helpful stuff in there too, like with the milk thistle. And then somebody said, be careful with the zeolite. Yeah, I would agree, because there's also, I got better stuff. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. I mean, I got better stuff down there. I'm not going to get into all of it today, but chlorine dioxide, folks, I'm telling you what, I mean, that's probably something that may get this feed shut down, but man, I have got to be honest with y'all. I just You can ask your mom. There was a incident the other night. I'd heard so many crazy stories about chlorine dioxide, and I'm thinking, man, is this stuff just overhyped or whatever?
Yeah.
I kid you not. Ask your mom. It was midnight, and I had food poisoning.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I don't know what was going on, but I was shaking so bad that I got over there. I was shivering. I was shaking. And I'm just, all I can say is, Michelle, I got over into the recliner in our room, and I'm like, I can barely even talk. My teeth are chattering. I don't know what is going on with me right now. And all I know is that at first my intestines were clogged up like the Lincoln Tunnel at rush hour.
What day was this? Were we here?
You weren't here. And I was like, and then all of a sudden I'm running to the bathroom and I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on. It's got to be food poisoning. And we ate at some dump. I don't know what it was. And I don't recall what it was. But anyway, I said, Michelle, yeah, I ate fish. I know exactly what it was. We were with Ben and Denise. We went to go pick apples.
Yeah.
And then when we stopped back, we stopped at this dump. And I ate fish because you know me. I mean, if the fish is on the menu, it says, I knew better, man. I was like, man, I don't know about this. I'm going to go with it. So I ate this fish. I don't know what happened. All I know is it's at midnight, like at the crack of midnight, and I am shaking like a leaf. And I said, Michelle, and I can barely even talk. And she's like freaking out, like, what's wrong with you? I said, take 3 drops each. And I'm like talking like, you know, I'm just barely trying to get the words out. I said, chlorine dioxide. And it was out on the counter in the kitchen. And I said, 3 drops of each. She made it wrong because I didn't explain it right.
I imagine.
Yeah. She said, I said, 3 drops of each and then put water in it. Well, you put 3 drops of each. You wait for a minute, let it kind of mix together. You should smell like bleach. And then you put water in it. Anyway, she came back, and I kid you not, I've had food poisoning before. I kid you not, 30 minutes later, I was right as rain. Dang. 30 minutes later, I was as good can be, and that was with chlorine dioxide. Folks, I'm telling you what, it made a believer out of me, and I mean, there's a bunch of different ways you can use it, but I know that if you talk too much about it, because, I mean,
yeah, there's 3 doctors in jail for life right now because they were talking about it, because they were healing people with it.
Yeah. And I'm just going to tell you my experience with it. So chlorine dioxide is one way as far as, you know, dealing with whatever's out there. I mean, I'd heard people talk about it with food poisoning before. And here's the crazy part about it. It was 2 days prior to then where I just talked to a chlorine dioxide specialist on the phone who got me squared away on how to go about doing this. It was like 2 days before. So this foreign protein cleanse is also another good one that comes from Dr. Edward Group. Also Dr. Artis, both of which I really need to get on this show.
So the testing that I did find out from Donna that the testing that I did was something that Dr. Brian Artis used to do in Maryville, Tennessee.
Okay.
That type of testing.
Yeah. So other things is deep breathing. I mean, honestly, this is Gary Brecka 101. Disease happens with the absence of oxygen. It's like the first thing you do in the morning. Honestly, I get up, I drink some salt water. I take a teaspoon of Baja Gold salt, stick it in about 16 ounces of water. I drink that because believe it or not, it will hydrate you. And then right after that, I get grounded on one of these grounding mats. I kid you not. I get grounded and I go in there and do Wim Hof breathing, 3 cycles of 30 breaths. Okay, that's another way to extract some of this stuff out of you. The glasses I'm wearing right now.
The reason Dad can't read those comments.
Yeah, the reason I can't. Well, I can if I get close enough, but man, this thing's a little bit far away.
I'll look it up. I know what you're about to ask.
But doctor, I can't think of his name right now.
I keep thinking Shane if he was a neurosurgeon.
I know, man. Shane the chef. Chef Shane.
Yeah.
But honestly, the reason I'm wearing these glasses right now is blue light. I mean, blue light blocking glasses. Now, I got some red ones you should wear when it gets dark. But if I wear the red ones, y'all, I mean, I look like Elton John about to be shot out of a cannon.
Dr. Jack Cruz, yep. K-R-U-S-E.
Check out the work of Dr. Jack Cruz, and I guarantee you'll be looking for some blue light blocking glasses at night. I guarantee that.
Yeah, and this red tint I got on my cell phone, it makes everything hard to read. Yeah, can you guys see that? The red tint on the cell phone?
Yeah, so that's a filter to keep the blue light coming off your devices at night. Folks, that does more damage to you than you know. And honestly, sleeping grounded, that's another reason why we encourage people to go to redemptionshield.com, promo code PERMA, anyway, to go get some of those grounded. Not, I don't like the sheets as much because they wear out. I like the grounding mat because that lasts for quite a while. So these are some, and then honestly, that's why, as part of the reason why I got the garlic story in there. Man, there's so many chelation ways to get this stuff out of you. Redmond's clay. I mean, that is a really good way to get some stuff out of you.
Which is apparently what zeolite is similar to like a volcanic clay, like a volcanic ash clay.
There's some other downsides of zeolite too.
What's like what?
Well, nothing's, I can't recall it right now because you're asking me, but if I wasn't thinking about it, I guarantee it'll come up with me, but you just got to be careful with zeolite. I got better zeolite than that.
The dosage is apparently pretty low too. It's like one drop in the morning, one drop in the evening.
Yeah, I got better stuff. I got way, way better stuff than anything you're going to buy off the shelf right now. There's so many. And then honestly, here's another little thing I'm wearing right now. There's this necklace. It's basically shungite. I'll try to get it to shine at the camera right now, okay?
To get Dad to wear a necklace, it must be actually pretty good.
Yeah, because
have him wear any kind of jewelry.
I don't even wear a wedding ring, y'all. Me and Michelle, I mean, we don't even wear rings. Because I just can't stand anything touching my body.
Well, also you're an electrician and gold is highly conductive.
Well, there was that. But honestly, I can't wear rings. I can't, you know, for being a permaculture pimp boy, I can never put on any bling because I can wear a hat if it's hot or if it's cold. I can do that, but honestly, I can't have anything touching my body. So to walk around with shungite on my body is a big deal. I'll put up with the discomfort for the protection that it offers me from EMF. And honestly, turning off your doggone router at night, which, son, is something you got to start doing.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, Jason was asking, what are the other three drops? You said three drops of chlorine dioxide, and what were the other three drops?
No, it was to make the chlorine dioxide. They can't sell it as chlorine dioxide already made. So you basically have to make it yourself. You got one solution. Let's call it solution A. And then you got another solution, and it's solution B. So all you do is take three drops of one, three drops of the other. And Michelle, if you're out there listening, can you put in the chat the name brand of that stuff in case somebody...
Safrax?
Safrax is one brand that you can go to. That's the one Mike Adams has. Not Mike Adams, but he recommends it. It's S-A-F-F-R-A-X, I believe. Safrax, I got some of that.
We used it at the house to get rid of any of the mold in the house. We fogged it.
Yeah, you can use that stuff in... They got tablets, and you can use them as pool cleaners and stuff like that, but you can also use it the other way around.
Somebody also said look up MMS solution, which is Miracle Mineral Solution.
There you go. Yep, same exact thing. But yeah, that's how you make the chlorine. You're basically making the chlorine dioxide. Very simple stuff. So three drops of A, three drops of B, let it sit for a minute, add X amount of water, and then you drink it, or at least I drink it. I'm not telling you to do that, but I did it. And like I said, I was right as rain in 30 minutes.
So I remember MMS back when I was a sleep technician. I was going through just like wasting time at night because we were up all night watching other people sleep, trying not to fall asleep. I found Miracle Mineral Solution online, and I brought it up to that crazy doctor we both know. And he said, man, that's a bunch of garbage.
Yeah. Oh, how about that?
Because they were curing Alzheimer's. They were curing Parkinson's. They were curing like AIDS. They were curing like all these diseases that are supposedly just permanent and that you have to deal with for the rest of your life. There was a diet protocol you had to follow, and then there was like a certain amount of times you had to take this MMS.
Well, I mean, I've heard the guy, the specialist I was talking to the other day, or like the 2 days prior. I mean, man, they're telling me some things that just seem pretty unbelievable as far as people recovering from. using this stuff. And of course, just like, you know, eating apricot seeds, you know, vitamin B17, I want to say.
I haven't even heard of that one.
Yeah, I got a whole gang of them down there for apricot seeds, where people like G. Edward Griffin have written, like,
there's a thumbtack on the ground.
I didn't put it there. Where did
it come from? Found it with my foot.
Well, hey, I don't know what to tell you, man. People like G. Edward Griffin have written books about this, you know, basically these miracle cures that are as simple as apricot seeds, is taking like 10 apricot seeds per day. Mm. And, you know, people that have done this basically don't come down with cancer.
Don't you have to build up to that, though?
No, actually, you build up to more than that. I'd take them, they're very, very bitter, and I put them in a smoothie or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, things like that that exist out there, these are solutions. Like, going back to this whole thing with the contamination, there are ways to chelate a lot of this stuff out of you. Some of it could be as simple as sweating. I mean, there's so many. I know we're throwing a lot at you, but man, there's so many different things you can go about it. But also, there's prevention. That's why I'm wearing this shungite. The reason why I'm wearing these glasses. The reason why I'm doing the deep breathing. The reason why I'm, you know, taking nitric oxide. I mean, the reason why I do red light therapy. The reason I'm doing all this stuff is I'm trying to counteract the junk they're hitting us with 24/7. And now we got it in these disaster sites. And some of us may want to start filling our medicine cabinets or just having some of this stuff on hand. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. But there's a lot of preparedness groups out there that have been talking about chlorine dioxide and you know how awesome it is. I witnessed it with my own two eyes. I was like, man, you can ask your mom. I couldn't even talk.
Yeah.
And she's like, what on earth is going on with you? I couldn't even talk. I'm sweating like nobody's business. I drank that stuff. 30 minutes later, man, I'm good to go. And I'm like, no way this stuff works this good. Dang. And there was no other way to account for it. No other way. And I ate this jacked up fish that just messed me up.
What kind of restaurant was it?
A dump.
Was it any certain?
No, it's not a chain. It was actually, it was one of those places when you walk in there and everybody's on the cell phone and you're thinking, oh, okay, I know I'm going to get a lousy service here.
Yeah.
One of those places where they bring out the salad with everything else.
Okay.
You know yeah. what I mean?
The salad's warm.
Yeah. They bring out the salad with everything else. And you know, like, oh man, you know, this place is going to be a dump. So, look, I know I told a lot of people, hey, I get to your questions here as far as, maybe we can handle a couple of them online, but truth of it is I got a bunch of questions that I haven't gotten to in the last week. And I want to apologize to those folks. I guarantee you next episode, I'm going to get to everybody's questions that's written in, because you got legit questions. Perhaps like, you know what? I'll go ahead and go. Look, I know it's late and I don't want to keep folks up later, but man, I got to get through these questions, son. So,
yeah,
because these people have been waiting for a while. And we'll try to get to some of you guys in the chat if you're able to stay up. Hey, Billy, thank you for sharing the truth with us about what happened in your area. Question, did your area not get hit as hard, or was it the systems controlling your water that have y'all? No, the bottom line is I prayed. I really believe that. I prayed that the Lord put his hedge of protection around this place. And it's like everything around us got absolutely destroyed. Not in Mars Hill where we live so much, but in the surrounding areas.
I mean, you don't have to go far to see a disaster zone, though.
No.
You could get on one of these roads and then just follow it and you'll see disaster zones. It's not far from the house at all.
And the water mitigation strategies on these properties are nowhere near complete.
Yeah.
Billy, I will try to keep this as short as possible. Prayers to you, your family, your region, and your remediation efforts. If you were going to start a permaculture composting business by using your food scraps method, how would you go about that? Would you use animals, or is that too risky, seeing how the method may scare off restaurants? Okay. I've taught this in classes before when I've taught how to get food for free, whatever you do, Jackson, whatever you do. And this is for anybody out there that's appealing to a restaurant or anybody. Do not ever tell them you're going to feed them to your animals. They see that as a massive liability issue, and they're never going to say yes. You know how many doors I had slammed in my face before I finally figured out you don't tell them that? What you tell them is, I'm going to make the world's best compost out of this, which is exactly what I'm doing. They just don't need to know that it's going through the butt of an animal first.
Yeah.
Because if they do, I'm telling you what, they're going to think, oh my goodness, I'm about to get sued or something.
And the majority of it actually doesn't get eaten by it. Like if you're doing the chicken tract on steroids, the majority of it doesn't get eaten by the chickens. The majority of it gets left by compost because the chickens prefer your second or third week pile over anything else because of the high protein bacteria that's in there.
Yeah, they're eating the biota or the microscope. You can't see it, but the chickens do.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, it's like they lay 10% more by being in the system like that. They work harder, but they lay more.
And the yolks are different, too. The yolks are like a darker, like almost orange.
Everything about those eggs is light years better just by being in that system. So, yeah. But do not tell them. If you tell them you're going to feed your animals, unless you know them, they're probably going to tell you no because they're going to think, okay, he gets a sick animal. He's going to blame me. So the answer is always going to be no. Just tell them you're going to make compost out of it, which is the truth.
A real quick comment. Eclectic Cabin said, just found out that AWK, that Kamala Harris' husband, has financial investments for the lithium in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I failed to mention that. Thank you for pointing that out because I failed to mention that in that last video. I meant to mention it, but when you speak extemporaneously, you're going to leave some stuff out. And that was one of them. And I was kicking myself in the keister. I was like, well, you big dummy. I can't believe you left that out. Hi, Billy. Came across your channel since Helene. I'm enjoying your content and personality. You speak about being a Christian and the value of prayer. I want to ask if Christ was in a room, would you say, quote, my junk went into my watch pocket or penis wrinkles or birth control glasses? You have a large audience and a big opportunity to share Christ with unbelievers. Please consider doing it in a way that is pleasing to our Lord and Savior.
She should meet Bear.
Yeah. She you don't realize Bear. I'm rated G.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So let me just kind of cover that for a second here. Thank you, Sue. And I'm always game for criticism. I ain't going to lie. When I first read that, it bothered me. Not because... It bothered me for very different reasons. I'm a guy who grew up in a place at a time in Oklahoma where to be what I was and a person of color, every other day I heard the N-word and I was called some things. Every single day I heard something, you know. And for the longest time, it gave me a complex. For 40 years of my life, I was never comfortable in my own skin, ever. Ever. And it took 45 years for me to finally be okay with who I am and what I was. Because when you're a person like I am, think about this. And a lot of people may not understand this, but to white people, they think you're black. And to black people, you're not black enough, you know, especially if you speak the King's English. So it puts you in a weird place. Serious identity crisis for most of your life. And then you just never feel as if you like, man, where do I belong in this whole thing? Well, I said all that to say this. For a long, long time, I would try to be somebody would like. And then when I finally said, you know what? And this is who the Lord made me to be. I became very comfortable in my skin to the point now that honestly, I am beyond caring what anybody thinks about me. I know the Lord died, Jesus died and died for my sins. He's raised again and at the right hand of the Father. No quarrel with any of that. But at the same time, I am thinking, okay, I don't use profanity. And frankly, I don't even have a problem with profanity. If you knew the history of profanity, you might not either. Because the people who made these words profane were basically the people those words were aimed at. So all of a sudden, they became profanity, okay? I don't use classic profanity. I invent my own. I'm dead serious. I mean, I invent
my own. What do you think Marchie is?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I'm too creative. I consider myself to be too creative to use off-the-shelf profanity, okay? I don't buy profanity off the shelf. I got to invent my own. So I'm like, okay, when I finally became comfortable in my own skin, I'm like, man, I'm going to be who I think I'm supposed to be. And if I offend people along the way, I'm not going to apologize for it, because at the end of the day, you know, Jesus, when he called them vipers or generations of vipers, you know, I don't know if that would be the equivalent of profanity in that day. I wouldn't know. But I got to believe that wasn't saying, hey there, buddy, old pal. You know, that wasn't a nice way of, you know, it had to be pretty offensive. So for me to call somebody a penis wrinkle.
Or the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, does it get much worse?
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I don't use off the shelf profanity, but come on, man, you got to give me something here. I mean, when I got a guy in the chat here acting like a penis wrinkle, I'm going to call him a penis wrinkle. And because I talk about these glasses as BCGs, birth control glasses, come on, man.
But it also makes you more relatable to people who are in the process, because a lot of people never go to church or never find Jesus because they feel like they're not, like they don't fit in with a bunch of goody two shoes.
Right.
That's basically
it. I may be a little rough around the edges, but man, this is the honest me, man. I appreciate your criticism at first. That's why I didn't respond quickly, because honestly, it had me aggravated for a while there. And usually comments, I mean, I guess, Sue, the reason why it aggravated me is because you made me have to do more thinking than I wanted to do. I'll be honest, I'm not upset with you. I was aggravated because I'm like, man, okay, I really have so much to do, but my brain was really preoccupied with thinking about this and really examining it. You know what? I mean, I don't tell somebody to go blankety blank you. I'm like, hey, may your chain set lightly upon you.
He didn't go flip their tables either.
No, I didn't do any of that. But honestly, calling these birth control glasses, come on. Really? I think that's a bridge too far. I mean, I'm not the same. There's a lot of sanctimonious people out there breaking somebody's balls about. Oh, did I say that? Can't take it back now. My bad. Yeah, there's a lot of sanctimonious people out there saying they'll break somebody's chops over, you said this, but oh, let's go carpet bomb the Middle East.
Yeah.
You know, there's children over there. I'm not saying you're one of those people, but I've met a lot of those people as of late. So if I come up with creative profanity, you're just going to have to work with me on that one, or don't. I'm knocking the mothballs off of some other creative profanity. Yeah, I need to write a book on that.
Creative profanity.
Yeah, that's my next book. Creative profanity. But honestly, I mean, like I said, I don't use off the wall profanity, man. I'm going to use my own stuff. So, yeah, you're just going to have to work with me on that, or don't. But I do appreciate the comment. But I, like I said, I was mad at myself because I'm like, man, I'm spending way too much time thinking about this. But as I become more comfortable in my own skin, and like I said, it took me 45 years to do that. And I still struggle with it from time to time. As I become more comfortable in my skin, I'm like, okay, why don't I'm going to, like Shakespeare, okay, at the end of, not the end of it, but there's this part in Hamlet where Polonius is dropping his son Laertes basically off to college. And he gives him all this sage advice. And he tells him, his son, you know, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Lend every man thine ear, but not every man thy voice. But above all else, to thine own self be true. Well, I guess you get it all here, permaculture and Shakespeare all in one place. But yeah, I mean, that kind of rings true to me in that I'm doing the best I can, and I might be a little rough around the edges, man. You got to figure there. Trust me, I had a real gift and a talent for profanity once upon a time, and I was really, really good at it. And nobody could cuss somebody out the way I could. I'm telling you what, I was really, really good at it. Really good at it. And now I've found more creative ways, you know, to basically do that sort of thing. So work with me here. All right. So what else we got here?
One question that keeps popping up in the chat is about shungite, and what is the purpose of the shungite and what is it doing?
Yeah, there's different grades of shungite. There's a lot of fakes on the market out there, but shungite is basically a rock that comes from Russia, okay? And basically it blunts, doesn't get rid of everything, but it blunts a lot of the EMF that goes on around you. There's other things I haven't tested. There's other things on the market. But this one is a little bit special, and I don't recall the name of it right now, so I'm sorry about that. Okay, so we got one. Oh, this one. Oh, my goodness. Check this one out. Miss Overall, she says, I was just sent your podcast on NC and the flood and the toxic silt. I want you to know that we, some ladies from Irwin, Tennessee and Greenfield, Tennessee, tested the Nolichucky River. It's online. It's called the Ketterer Report. He, Michael Ketterer, at the time was out of Arizona State University, and he was one of the first persons in the region to operate the spectrometer. For real, he found bomb-grade, highly enriched uranium 235, 6, and 9, and some plutonium all the way up the French Broad River. In a separate study on my property in the Nolichucky River, they found uranium 238. Anyway, she says, thank you. I'm sure she's saying this facetiously. Thank you, Nuclear Fuel Services, the ladies of Irwin. Anyway.
That place is up and running right now.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what.
On the way back home, I just took a detour around that place.
Yeah, your mom and I went up there recently. So here's the deal on that one. I'm going to reach out to that lady and I'm going to tell her story. I'm going to be doing more of it too. I mean, yeah, granted, it's kind of outside the scope of what we do here on this channel, but man, it's time somebody blows the freaking whistle. Is that a bad word?
I don't know. Just change a vowel and it might be.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, I'm going to get over here and I'm going to talk to these ladies.
You know what's irritating?
Go up there and tell this story, man.
Is that they so-called did a leak test on that that nuclear fuels facility, and it came back perfectly fine. There were no leaks. There was nothing wrong with it.
Hmm. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. But she's saying they're fine, like bomb-grade stuff here. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to tell their story. I don't have anything confirmed, but I'll use whatever platform I have here to get the word out because – man, I am so sick and tired of fantastic people out there who just want to live their lives, just you know, go to the kids' ball game without worrying about being freaking irradiated.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to do the cool thing out there. And everybody's just kind of people that do have the platforms, people that do have the ability, the voice, and much bigger voices than I have are reluctant to do anything. I'm going to stay on top of it, man. I'm going to do what I can. And I'm going to reach out to her, and I'm going to try to get up there, and I'm going to tell this story. I'm going to let everybody know what's going on.
Also, this is an important point. Neither one of us, nobody in this house, is suicidal. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah, keep that on the record.
Yeah.
So check this one out. Okay, so I did a video up front. The last one I did, I think, was a front porch talking about Kings Mountain and some of the other stuff. So we got one guy here. I better not say his name because I don't want to dime him out. Here's another whistleblower. Hi, Billy. I can attest to the Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and South Carolina lithium story as I have lived here my whole life, 40 plus years. I have a few things to point out. One, in the news like below, notice the price paid for $40 million for 60 acres. Everyone here was floored by that transaction. Number two, my fire district, York County, South Carolina, shares a boundary with Cleveland County and Kings Mountain, North Carolina, where I was being trained for the fire service. We had numerous special policies/procedures regarding the safety and transport of lithium through our county. The lithium plant has its own fire department. Okay, there's more. Number three, Kings Mountain has an unbelievably corrupt mayor and government considered as bad or worse than any major government like Chicago. And don't forget about South Carolina governor and Lindsey Graham's willingness to spill untold amounts of American blood, 16 plus trillion worth of minerals in Ukraine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, I mean, we got whistleblowers coming out left and right. Ran into one of the whistleblowers at that last event we were at.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Hey, Billy, I think you mentioned that you could get mushroom spent blocks by the pickup truck load. He's basically saying take softball-sized trunks and throw them out there. Yeah, that's exactly the plan. We're going to do as much as we can.
The key to that, though, is making sure that the fungi has proper conditions to grow and thrive afterwards. It's not just throwing like the chunks out there and just letting it grow, because 9 times out of 10, especially now, there's nothing to feed the fungi. So the fungi is going to run out of food after that mushroom block is eaten, basically. And then it's just going to go into a dormant state, and then it's going to have to wait for the proper conditions to come back.
But I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
And honestly, that sort of thing can absolutely happen. But let me just kind of go back a little bit. There's already going to be fungi in the extract we made. So we'll put down the extract first. Remember, we'll put down the extract first, put down some biochar that's already been charged, put down some carbon, probably wood chips, something that's local, something that's handy, put down those wood chips, and then extract all of which has fungi in it. And of course, I mean, that can be absolutely part of the carbon layer that we put out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be smart to put some out there anyway. So that's exactly what I hope to do, is use a lot of spent mushroom blocks, because they get like maybe one or two fruitings off of it. And then that block 9 times, I made a lot of good compost out of those things. So every chance we can, we're going to be putting that kind of stuff out there.
I was thinking I have some new growth forest I need to clear. I can turn it all into charcoal, which can then be turned into biochar for you, and turn that area into a biochar factory.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. We're just still in the process of just even trying to, oh my goodness, man. I mean, just trying to get a feel for the bottom. We don't even know what we're dealing with yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you got kidney and, you know, partial liver problems. I know they can be recovered, but how many people, like all these old folks that live in this community over there, they're there day and night breathing in all this dirt, sand, silt, clay.
Well, it's not even just that. It's the burning that's going on at the bottoms of these hollers. They're burning. If there wasn't contamination before, there's some contamination now, because they're burning all the debris. And like, okay, ignore the entire rest of the event. People are burning like insulation. They're burning just random materials that are washing up on the shores. They're burning everything in these dumpsters that were dropped off at the bottoms of these hollers. So everything is just wafting up the holler and smoking everybody out.
Yeah, bad news for sure. So we got the last one here from Randy. He says, I'm a grade 10 teacher who teaches health courses. I'm planning on putting together a project where the students research topics related to wellness. I would love to have some good books to guide this project. I don't want to get too controversial. Bro, you reached out to the wrong permaculture pimp daddy, bro, but don't worry. I'll get you squared away.
I was about to tell him to research nicotine.
No, actually, hang on, son. Get to that in a second. I don't want to go too controversial, but basically, students to think about the system versus their best interest. Any good starting points? Okay. Go ahead.
Nicotine. I was actually doing a consultation for a lady in Austin, and her son is actually doing that same thing. So there's a they basically had to come up with a report talking about some sort of like healthy alternative, or like whether like talking about like negative health impacts of certain things or like positive health impacts of certain things. There's two kids in his class that picked nicotine and the negative side effects of nicotine. And this kid picked nicotine and the beneficial impacts of nicotine. So he's going to be going up against two other classmates in that whole debate.
Bro, there's nicotines in potatoes and all your nightshades. Broccoli. Yeah, all your nightshades. Eggplant has the highest nicotine outside of tobacco. Hey, y'all, got news for you. Nicotine is not addictive. It is not. In fact, I make my own dip now because of Dr. Brian Artis. I kid you not.
And everybody you sent it to said it was off the hook, too.
It's in this can right here. I make my own. I make it. I'm dead serious. I make my own to get the benefits of nicotine. If you don't, I know Folks, I know you've been trained your whole life to think nicotine is addictive. It isn't. It is the chemicals they put in that crap, and they know that nicotine is a cure for so many things out there. If you doubt me, go to the Dr. Brian Artist, A-R-D-I-S, the Dr. Brian Artist Show, and then go down there, look at his videos, and look at the other N-word. I think that's the name of that video, the other N-word. The Dr. Brian Artist, A-R-D-I-S, the Dr. Brian Art, B-R-Y-A-N, I believe, the Dr. Brian Artist Show, and look at the other N-word. And he's talking, it's all about nicotine and the benefits of it and all the things that it's curing, including things like myocarditis and all the people that are suffering from the after effects of having that jab, okay? All those things that you're going through right now, in fact, all the COVID symptoms, all the people that can't smell right now, just putting nicotine patches on. You can put on patches, but I get organic tobacco and I process it myself and I make my own little dip here that has no chemicals in it. All it is salt, water, heat, and thyme, kind of like bone sauce. I mean, I make bone sauce practically the same way.
Kathy M is asking, is it better than wine? So the amount of two different compounds, talking about the resveratrol versus nicotine. Wine, the amount you would have to actually drink for it to be beneficial to your heart is like a bottle, isn't it? Like a bottle a day.
Crazy, but I would just stick to the resveratrol.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go and get tipsy every night.
And then Stray Kitten is asking, can you smoke eggplant? I can't afford a cigarette.
Yeah, but you know what? Nobody needs an eggplant break. Just like Brian Artist says, nobody needs an eggplant break. So it's all that's why when those people got up in front of Congress, all those tobacco giants, and they said nicotine is not addictive. Yeah. They were telling the truth. They really were. It's all the drugs they put in there. I think the name of it's called The Insider. If you watch that movie with Russell Crowe, it's called The Insider. And he was one of the, nicotine is not addictive, folks. It's one of the most helpful substances on this planet, and they don't want you to know about it. So have your students look into that. I'm going to suggest something else though. I know you were talking about you're putting together a health course. Let me talk about wellness in another area, and I'm going to talk about brain health. Okay, now I don't know how many farm shows out there where you're going to hear Shakespeare, you're going to hear quotes from Jeff Lawton, you're going to hear this and that, but
creative
profanity. But I'm going to kind of lead you in another way, because I think it does go back to a certain extent what you're talking about. I would recommend they would read, there's a book down there on the shelf right now. It's by Ed Milet. They're 10th graders. I would encourage them to read The Power of One More. Okay. Read The Power of One More. Because kids these days, just think about it, in the main public school system is set up to where a kid of average intelligence, if they barely try, should get a C on everything, okay? The Power of One More teaches you the benefit of pushing yourself just a little bit more. Just do one more than you think you ought to in everything you do. One more sit-up, one more push-up, one more minute on your workout. One more phone call, one more business phone call. It makes folks, it has made a difference in my life, big time. And these kids are in a system where they're all kind of, every teacher out there is telling them, oh, you got to go. I'm not saying you're one of them. A lot of teachers are out there saying, oh, you got to go to college to be a success. Okay, I got a military education, trade education, college education, and a farm education. Okay. The one quadrant there that's never put a dime in my pocket was a college education. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just saying, I mean, for me anyway, The Power of One More, that's one. Awaken the Giant Within. Okay. That's by Tony Robbins. These kids don't even know what's possible in so many different ways. I think this is unfitting. And honestly, this is probably going to disappoint you, because I'm going to recommend you check this one out as well, Randy. And it's called The Ultimate History Lesson with John Taylor Gatto. Every American, everybody in the sound of my voice, If you don't walk away from this podcast with anything else, I hope that's, it's about 5 hours long, and he had had a stroke when he did it.
So speed it up. And
yeah, you can double the speed, and it's, you know, audibly palatable. It's about 5 hours long, and you should listen to every single minute of it. The Ultimate History Lesson with John Taylor Gatto. And by the time you're done with it, Randy, you might want to retire. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It sounds like you're one of the good ones. Yeah. But I would encourage these kids. I mean, you're asking for a project where I know it was probably more, what was he asking, more health related or wellness? You said wellness, and that's why I was thinking, well, this is mental wellness. Honestly, I think that's a really good place to start, because I think so many of us are not getting any help in that area. The power of one more is going to tell everybody, hey, you got it in you to do more than you think you can. You got a couple more gears you've never even tried accessing before. Awaken the Giant Within makes you know that you could go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with you. One of those Zig Ziglar sayings, but I think you get the point. And then the Ultimate History Lesson with John Taylor Gatto will make everybody realize, you know what? For most of my life, I've been at the bottom of Plato's cave. So, yeah, all of those things I think are areas where I think children need more awakening. So thank you very much for that thought-provoking question, Randy, because it made me think outside the box. And, William, I want to thank you for yours as well. Folks, look up nicotine. Look it up for yourself. We got any questions out there?
There was one from Jeremy Hula saying, if I put chlorine dioxide in my humidifier, will it hurt my cannabis plants?
Bro,
I have no idea.
Hey, bro, I mean, honestly, man, I know one thing. I never, ever, ever come between a Hooter Bandit and his weed. So, bro, I don't know what to tell you on that score. So, look, man, we're going on probably an hour and a half right now. And, yeah. Yeah. Hey, y'all. I know, man, we still got quite a few folks in here. Well, thank you so much for being here, y'all. It's been a joy to hang out with you. William's going to be, well, son, tell everybody where they can find you.
The Permaculture Consultant on YouTube. It's this is actually going on both channels right now. It's going on Permapasture's Farm and the Permaculture Consultant. And if you need a consultation, hit up the Permaculture Consultant at gmail.com.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. They don't want the individual, just a carbon copy. You sitting at Manicotti. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze. Got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to swim up at the center of the nexus. Me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior.